With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
You are the perfect drug, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Oh, we're in each other's arms once again. Let's get on with the show. It is the Football Ramble, everybody. It's so nice to have you here.
Mm. So nice to be here.
Yeah, the listeners as well. I was more talking about the listeners.
In your arms, in your heavily appointed arms.
Appointed.
Luke, yeah.
I, for one, am shocked to hear a Nine Inch Nails reference from Marcus Speller.
Yeah.
It's thrown me a bit.
Let me be honest with you, Jim. I clocked it and immediately thought it must be referenced to something else and not that. So, Marcus, you can let us know if it was a Nine Inch Nails reference or not.
I thought it was my own original stuff.
Oh, as always. The amount of times we've heard that in a production meeting. Come on.
I'll steal ideas from anyone.
Yeah.
even if he is the intern and he's just been sacked.
There's a reason we call him Marcus the Magpie around here.
That's Pete Donaldson, yeah, I think you'll find.
Yeah.
In a way.
We can't say that because he's not here to defend himself.
Is Magpie?
Yeah.
Newcastle
fan. I know, yeah. I got it.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Good. Well, how about this? Viewing figures are reportedly down for the Premier League.
This isn't good news,
brings
is it?
Brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it?
The bubble's bursting.
Ramble numbers are up, though. 1-0. 1-0.
Scudamore will not learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, Premier League, eh? It's all falling apart. We wondered when the empire would crumble.
Yeah.
Immediately after the biggest TV deal in history.
Richard Scudamore's dreams will turn to ashes in his mouth.
In his mouth.
Yeah.
He seems like a sort of man who'd keep his dreams in his mouth.
That's what Tyrion Lannister says in one of the more famous quotes of Game of Thrones, which we've established that Marcus
doesn't watch.
Has neither any interest or knowledge of.
Zeitgeist, don't even know how to spell it.
No.
Yeah.
Don't care.
But he was, I preferred him on the left than the right.
Well, how would you, if you were given the task to get the figures back up in the Premier League, Jim, how would you go about doing it?
Well, obviously, I guess, you know, it could be that the audiences are split between BT Sport and Sky, and there could be all kinds of different reasons for this. So I think what the Premier League ought to do is target people that don't normally watch football to try and bring them in and just bolster the numbers.
They have done that with Friday Night Football.
Indeed, yeah, but they should do it better
Another notch. It'd be hard to do it worse, wouldn't it?
Indeed, it would. Just a blank screen is probably how you'd do that.
You don't like football? How about it?
How about
put it
nothing?
On a Friday night? Yeah. How about the blank void of nothing?
Yeah. You don't like football? How about if you watch this and pay us £50 a month? If you still don't like football afterwards, let us know.
Yeah. Just watch it and think about something you do like. Have a bit of you time.
By the way, there's a 12-month minimum contract.
So what I would do is to bring in a new audience. I would have draws settled with a talent contest. Obviously, they're very very high rating on TV, so you'd attract that new audience. Almost like the talent bit on Take Me Out, but obviously clubs would get really good at it because you'd need a ringer to come in and make sure that you got the points on that bit. So like we'd all wake up to headlines like saying, "Oh, Man City have broken the world transfer fee. Who for? Beyonce."
that would be who they would get.
Yeah,
and
then absolutely slam it in the talent contest at the end.
I like that, Joe. And you mentioned the sort of the Take Me Out kind of style a bit as well. And obviously, is it Paddy McGuinness?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You know, what about just sort of like for like? I think Steve Warnock.
I don't think either of those people are the answer.
I don't think you're winning many points with that.
Stephen Warnock.
Not Stephen Warnock.
I know you meant Neil Warnock.
Neil Warnock. Neil Warnock.
Yeah, Stephen Warnock. Lesser-spotted fullback.
Presenting it.
Yeah.
I think the ref hosts it.
All right.
I think maybe the ref is the judge. Yeah, the ref's got to be the judge.
Clattenburg,
imagine it.
Have either of you two ever been in charge of a marketing department?
No. Have never done that.
But I had a semi-serious...
Not a whole department, no.
I've decided to get on this train. And at least ride it to the next station, Jim.
If I was going to ask, who would Arsenal get, Jim?
Oh, who would we get? I think there's a lot of celebrity Arsenal fans, aren't there? So who would you have?
I had a semi-serious question with Jim about that. Would because you've piqued my interest, would the talent not be unveiled until the time would come?
Well, initially that would be the case, wouldn't it?
But
obviously,
like
you'd have to have them within your ranks. Like it might be that you've got a player who's like incredible at like making balloon animals or something, so you have to bust that out, because you can't just have the same one every time. So even if City did sign Beyonce, she'd have to do something different every time. So it would be quite involved. You'd have to have a whole department and an area of the squad dedicated to it.
James Milner, his value would increase even more because he would be able to do loads of stuff like that.
Put up a shelf on the post.
would Beyonce have to play as well?
For
the purposes of a joke, could you please say yes?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. I thought as much because you can imagine Guardiola putting her in goal saying, look at her feet. She's danced all over the place. She's much better than Jonah. Get her in the bins.
Go on, Luke, what have you got?
I've actually got a semi-serious answer.
That's a shame after that.
Yeah. So did I. What are you talking about? I had a fully serious answer.
Sometimes when... I don't want to let the listeners behind the curtain too much, but sometimes when these questions are put around, it is very hard to know whether people are going to answer them seriously or not. Usually they're not.
Really?
But I thought for this one it might be...
You do a podcast with Jim and Pete.
I know, yeah, that is true. I should have known better. I thought it would be quite good. And I said semi-serious. It's not completely serious. What would be really good and would genuinely attract people, because one of the things that people like watching football for, one of the things, is of course the soap opera around it and the pageantry and all that stuff. I think it would be nice if they mic'd everyone up. Everyone. So every player, the referee, the managers, the coaches, all the technical staff, and you can zone in and out. So it'd be a really difficult job for the director, of course, but if Jose Mourinho is thinking about making a sub and you see someone warming up on the touchline, if the director can flick the audio to Mourinho, his assistant and the player, that'd be fascinating.
What, while muting the others? You need about eight directors.
Yeah, surely it would have to be lots of different feeds.
They've got the money. It would be after lots of different feeds. But my point is that the other reason it would work really nicely is because it would then remove a lot of the mystery from what managers and players are doing. Mm-hmm. So then you would have to be a genuinely very good manager, because all your secrets would automatically be put out there, mm-hmm. and everyone would be able to get a hold of them. I think that'd be brilliant.
You know how that would work as well, how that would evolve? You'd get players who were particularly flash who would commentate on themselves.
Yeah,
like they'd be so like, you know, like flash kids in the park. Yeah, would do that. They sort of take it round you and going, nutmeg, dummy, go home, Jimmy, rubbish, that sort of thing. And then like sort of YouTubers who've become famous by shouting about FIFA. It'd be the same sort of thing, but with the actual game itself.
That already exists in NFL. So occasionally, when there's a stoppage in play, they'll show you the audio, or they'll play you the audio of the quarterback who's got a mic because he's talking back to the offensive coach. Usually, I think
that's cheating.
But it's funny. It's funny because sometimes, like, the quarterback will throw the ball and he'll get hit by a big defensive player. Mm. And you'll hear it go, oh, yeah, good shot, baby, good shot.
Really?
Give a slap on the back. Yeah, yeah, they're quite magnanimous about it.
But
yeah.
American sportsmen are totally different eyes, because imagine if that was over here.
I just like the idea of footballers calling each other baby.
Well, that's the final thing I was going to say. You'd have to have some sort of thing about swearing, of course.
Games would have to kick off at 9 o'clock in the evening.
But I actually should say at this point, the Acast special next month, it's going to be Howard Webb. Mm. And I spoke to him a couple of days ago. And I took him to task over the old players swearing at referees thing.
Did you really?
So you have to give it a listen on Acast Plus to hear what he said.
I thought you were going to say, and this idea was endorsed by him.
No.
He swore me a lot.
If you ever met Howard Webb, you would not be taking liberties on saying
Big Howie.
Yeah.
I would go for surprise guest teams.
Oh, hello.
Okay, yeah.
So what this would entail... would be Manchester United are playing Sunderland, for example.
Mm-hmm. And looking forward to the points.
Exactly. And suddenly the stadium announcer would say, and Manchester United will be playing Sunderland, who are today being played by Real Madrid.
I don't think they should announce it.
Do you not?
No, I think you should get...
By then, though, it's too late, isn't it?
Yeah, but I would love professional players to have that thing that we all had as, like, 10-year-olds, when you line up against a team opposite you've never seen before and think, God, they're all much bigger than us. That guy's got a moustache. How can he be 10? And then imagine them, Man United, about to, as you say, looking forward to getting the 3 points. Mm. Whoever's playing, like, centre-back or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that Benzema? I thought we were playing against Fabio Barini today. I've done all my work on Barini.
Yeah.
And now we've got...
It'd be brilliant.
Yeah, it would be good.
And also as well, because fans would then turn up thinking, we've got Burnley away, or do we?
Yeah. Because maybe you get one a season.
Yeah, right.
Or sometimes, could it go the other way? Could it be you're actually playing against a League Two side?
Yeah. Manchester United versus Raith Rovers.
I don't think yours is very practical.
Okay.
I'm not sure mine's that practical.
Yeah.
It's more practical.
Yeah. And I'm going to give Jim the points.
Thought you might. The problem about this show is...
Marcus.
It's not only enough... It's a
Marcus,
problem. Carry on.
Fortunately, ladies and gentlemen, they haven't found the solution because I've hidden it.
You know it's gone too far, Jim, and you may not recognise this, but if you do by all means shout. It's not enough to think up an answer.
No.
You've then got to make sure you spend the next 5 minutes not annoying Marcus. So you get the point. And I don't think that's good for the listeners. Yeah. I don't think that's good for the show.
I thought a benevolent dictator, I think you are. Yeah.
A benign dictator.
Yeah, not benevolent to me today.
Jim, I gave you the points.
Well, exactly. It doesn't mean you're not a dictator.
Jim's
though,
a man
it?
Of principle.
I see your ruse.
He doesn't want the points.
No, all right. They literally mean nothing, as we've established.
But,
okay.
I would quite like them.
So. You're either with the dictatorship or you're against it. Let's move on to the Premier League, talking of dictatorships, because Chelsea were dictating things down at Stamford Bridge against Manchester United.
Dictated on, didn't they?
A very unhappy return for Jose. He didn't seem that bothered, though. He took it in good spirit.
Now, there's what you want with Mike type manager.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we heard what he said
in
Italian to Conte after the game.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it?
I haven't heard this, by the way. What did he say?
Okay, basically, I think he said in Italian, didn't he? But he effectively said, you shouldn't have celebrated like that at 4-0 to G the crowd up. You should have done it at 1-0, at 4-0, which is humiliating. But at 1-0, it's pure hubris, surely. But Mourinho, he's mature enough to know that's probably going to be seen by the cameras and translated. So, like, that just makes him look more of a sore loser, doesn't it?
Well, he did cover his mouth. I don't think he did want it seen by the cameras.
A man not known for his over-exuberant touchline celebration as Jose Mourinho.
I know. Almost the defining, proponent of it.
Yeah, can we file this under standard Jose diversionary tactic?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, and the papers still lap it up, don't they?
That's
all they're talking about today.
Yeah. There was a little bit of argy-bargy afterwards and whatnot, but... You know, the thing is, the manager's just seen his team hammer Manchester United 4-0 in perhaps their best performance of the season. Yeah. He's still fairly new there. I understand that you don't want somebody to gloat and whatnot, but it's okay for the manager to kind of say to the fans, come on, we're having this, aren't we, kind of
thing.
I think
it's absolutely fine. Yeah, it's absolutely fine.
Absolutely.
It's a big, they're playing against a big team.
But he turned around. Yeah, he turned around to the home fans. I could imagine if it was, you know, imagine if you were away from home and you did it to the home fans, which I think has Mourinho done that?
He did that at Old Trafford. He ran up and down the touchline.
Oh, that was for Porto, yeah, right. And obviously Barcelona, but when he ran on the pitch.
Because the point is,
Liverpool fans, chin up
exactly,
and all that.
Surely the point is, it's not when you do it. I mean, you could possibly, there's an argument to be heard, at least to be heard, that Conte's a bit classless by doing that. And what he should have done is just held his counsel and enjoyed the win and all that other stuff. But reality says that no manager's going to do that.
Yeah.
So, and Mourinho certainly isn't going to do that. If Mourinho had... If Man United have won 4-0 at Stamford Bridge, there's an argument again to be made that Mourinho might not have done much because of his history there, and because he's got quite a good reception, because he's well respected, and all the rest of it.
But that's not a two-way street.
No, quite. And if they had won 4-0 anywhere else, if they'd won 4-0 at Arsenal, you bet your bottom dollar he would have been doing that stuff.
Right, but the fact is, Conte has turned round to his home fans and enjoyed a moment with them. He's not looked over at the Manchester United bench. And he's not done it away from home in front of the home faithful going, yeah, get a load of us. But whatever it was a great win for Chelsea.
Well, let me boil it down to what it exactly is all about. And what it's about, I'll touch on it a little bit with the diversionary tactic thing. But what it comes down to is everything Jose Mourinho says or does is leapt upon and absolutely...
Gobbled up
by aspect of the media, including ourselves by now for talking about it. If you look at the sort of minutiae behind the media coverage of that game, afterwards, Mourinho's post-match interview with Jeff Shreves was almost 6 minutes long.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't really have anything to say other than that thing he mentioned. And even then he refused to talk about it. He said, I spoke to Antonio about it. I'm not talking to you about it. But they absolutely love it. And they'll extend those post-match interviews with Mourinho as long as they can.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one when he was, I think it was towards the end of his second stint at Chelsea, when the wheels were massively coming off.
Yeah.
And he went on that unbelievable rant.
Oh, yeah.
I think that went on for about 9 minutes.
They're paying him for gold, aren't they?
Yeah, they
That's
are.
Absolutely what
and you're telling me, if Ronald Koeman did that, if Ronald Koeman won 4-0 against Manchester United at Goodison Park, would it be 5-6 minutes long?
Mm. Yeah, of course.
If he lost 4-0, would it be 5-6 minutes? No, of course it wouldn't. They would cut it out, cut it all down, and stick it out there, and it would just be the same old stuff.
Mm.
It's because people are obsessed with Mourinho that it feeds itself, because he then knows he can divert the media from what is actually a pretty poor performance from them, and the fact that he doesn't really know what his best team is. He can't really complain about being tired from the Europa League, because only about 4 players started both games. He's just diverting over and over again, and he always gets away with it. So it's like a self-fulfilling thing.
Yeah, it's interesting that he's already sort of going into the siege mentality thing. But I wonder if the Conte thing is actually partially fueled by this actually being quite a big psychological boost for the Conte era, especially with it being Mourinho coming back, because they're similar managers in a sense in that they're both very, very charismatic, kind of very kind of, you know, reactive men.
Cult of personality type.
Very much so. And Conte needs to sort of make this, like, properly end the sort of nostalgia for the Mourinho era, which, you know, Mourinho very much helped with in the last spell there. But do you see Jose clapping Hazard as well, as if to say, where were you last season, you absolute knob?
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing that?
Which is a fair point, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mourinho's probably at least partly to blame for that. But when, like, N'Golo Kante's, like, dancing through your defence, it's not your day, is it?
It's absolutely... But 3-5-2 in action from Conte, that was nice to see. It's also nice to see Victor Moses staking a claim. That's great.
And I also think that one of the things, I mean, we criticise Gary Cahill quite a lot on this show, Gary Cahill and all that, but to be fair to him, he really has bounced back. I mean, he was excellent against Man United, and he's one of those players who seems to be able to really, like, bounce back against, like, adversity and really use it as fuel, you know, and he played very well, I thought.
Hope we can do that for England then as well.
Well, unlikely.
Do you think it's just that Mourinho's dare to drop a player of the quality of Wayne Rooney and the team suffers?
Yeah, it might be that.
That's exactly what
they missed him. There's a big Wayne Rooney hole in that team.
I think
which he normally digs.
Yeah.
I think the early goal just ruined it for
Mourinho. They didn't touch the ball, did they?
We talked about them going out there and sticking the place out and trying to get a 0-0 or something like that. That goal went in so early, and it was such a defensive mix-up as well.
Yeah. You can't legislate for that.
When that goal goes in like that, in that manner, and Manchester United don't react quick enough, and you can see them turning around, looking at each other, going, "Oh crap!" Mm. And Mourinho's looking on the sideline. You just, if you're a Chelsea fan, you would view that and go, lovely old job, we're in today, this should be a big one.
Well, Mourinho complained in his hour-long monologue, his one-man show after the game, that they're playing a team defending really deeply with two quick players hitting them on the break. It's like, but if you're going to be that defensively sloppy, they're just going to pick you apart all day doing that. Mm-hmm. Chelsea were just happy to sit there and pick them off.
That was related to the early goal, though, wasn't it?
Indeed,
they had the luxury when I did that. But I think
that's not a argument, just, is it? That it was immediately effective.
No, he should have. Mourinho should have done a lot more than he did to change it. But then that said, it was an element in this game of United not really taking the chances they had, and then Chelsea really punishing them on the break, and that can happen. But it's only fair that we say that when we talk about Stoke getting beaten by a lot of goals and. You say, it's not a crime to lose a game because Premier League's a difficult league to play in. But when you're losing by big numbers, it shows that really, are your team focused? And United were beaten by a big score in the Premier League. I know it went through a bit of a patch a couple of years ago, but generally speaking, these games between the big clubs do tend to be quite cagey and quite close in the Premier League, and that obviously wasn't the case.
I wonder if Ibrahimovic is a bit knackered already, or if his head's dropped, because he's one of those players that if it's not going his way, you could imagine him thinking
it's the world's fault.
Exactly, and going, well, I'm not getting the service, or I'm not getting this, and I'm not getting that.
I think he's right. I think the way that Mourinho's playing, especially against these big games, against these big teams, is isolating Zlatan, and he's a player of an age, and I don't think it's playing into his strengths at all. If he was playing for a team like Arsenal, who knock the ball around all day, 75% possession, I know it was a home against Middlesbrough, but Zlatan would be a lot more effective. I think at that age, you can't help but be affected by the way the team plays. But on that, it's really interesting because the top five teams in the Premier League are separated by one point at the moment. Two of those teams in there, Liverpool and Chelsea, and they don't have any European football.
Yeah.
So it'll be really, really interesting to see towards the end of the season how that affects them, because you could argue, I know I said only four outfield players started for United that also started in the Europa League, but you could argue Chelsea was fresher than daisy for that game.
Very true.
Yeah, indeed. And also, Liverpool, when they almost won the league a couple of years ago, it was the same situation for them, wasn't it? You can see it does give teams a lift.
Certainly. We're going to talk more Premier League after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back, everybody. We mentioned Liverpool. Their neighbours had a funny result away to Burnley. Mm. Great win for Burnley. They had around 34% possession, but they did enough.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Sean Dyche was talking about how, they're not ever going to be the sort of, amazing passing team. But I tell you what, when they are in possession, for the short times they are very tidy and very slick, and it helps them out a lot.
He's got his plan against the bigger side, certainly.
It's not like they have it and they hoof it that often.
No.
Not
many teams are going to get points at Burnley. So I said that a few weeks ago. Not many teams are going to score many goals, and not many teams are going to come away with 3 points from there. They've learnt Dyche has learnt his lessons to me from last time. They've got players there who were involved last time as well. And the one thing they are good at, or they seem to be good at this early stage in the season, is that when another team makes a mistake, as Stekelenburg did, they'll leap on it. Because they're at it. They're so on their toes game.
Yeah. And credit to the club for not sacking Dyche. Not that I don't think that was ever an option it's always an option, but I don't think that was ever sort of rumoured. But, they went down, and some clubs were thinking, he never kept us in the Premier League, and there can be a little bit of...
He was heavily linked to the Aston Villa job ahead of Bruce getting it. There was a lot of talk about that on the wires for a brief period.
They don't want to step down.
But Burnley never said they wanted to lose him.
No, but I'm just saying that the fact that when he took them to the Premier League, then they got relegated, some clubs would have thought,
He's taken us as far as he can.
Exactly. Yeah. Taken us as far as they can. Oh, they might have tried to get a new manager bounce to keep them in the league. They didn't. They kept with him. They've gone back up in the league. And as you say, Luke, on current form and the way this is going, they are staking a big claim to staying up this season, which would be a monumental achievement.
It's impossible to make the argument that Dyche won't be a better manager for his experience last time around.
Right.
Absolutely.
But your man, Big Ronald's not having a great time at the moment. Not doing that well.
It's a shame. I mean, he tweeted that football can be very unfair sometimes and they deserve to win or at least get a point. And really, I mean, they should have got something out of that game. They had the chances.
It's a shame for Stekelenburg, isn't it, given how great he was in the last game. I think he was at fault probably for both goals. He was so slow to react to the second after it come off the bar.
He didn't really need to do anything the first one. He was going wide anyway by the look of it. I know
it was
sure.
A soft hand on it as well.
It was. Everton have won for four games now. They started really brightly. They haven't won for about a month now, which is obviously worrying.
Koeman will turn
Yannick,
it around.
Yannick Bolasie is lucky that he put that chance away.
Oh, no. So
you imagine nicking that off Lukaku.
Oh, no.
To credit to Lukaku, though, when he saw it happen, he immediately peeled away and put himself in space. Like that. That's the sign of a mature player, that.
And when he scored, Lukaku did point to him and went over to congratulate him, because a lot of footballers might not have done that.
It looked some game, by the way. It looked like a really good game.
Yeah, it certainly was. Better than the one at the Emirates. Although that wasn't a bad game, actually, 0-0.
I was actually there.
Was it? Were you?
Yeah, I was.
Was you there to celebrate Big Veng's birthday?
Yeah, very much so. And they put a game on for us, which was nice.
Of sorts.
Yeah, well, a version of a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. Got to see Mike Dean in the flesh, though. The balletic hero of the
which
whistle.
Which is
why
everyone's there, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, the gesticulation in the flesh is really something. It's great. Middlesbrough actually had the better chances in the game. Arsenal came out pretty well. The first 20, 25 minutes or so, it looked like we have enough to break them down. But then the game management from Karanka was quite good, because after they got through that period without conceding, they came out a little bit. They had a few chances. Because that's the pattern of play at the Emirates a lot, isn't it? Arsenal huff and puff, we don't get a goal, then we get done on the break. So I think teams do that now. I think it very much looked like he had a specific time periods where they would attack and otherwise would defend, and they didn't quite get anything out of it. And obviously Peter Cech is they got something out of it, but they probably could have got more out of it in the past. Cech probably turned that point turned that game into a point there, depressingly. And people point to the Champions League hangover again, but I think Arsenal were at home in midweek and they're at home at this game as well. So
they had a 6-0 win.
I just think it's one of those games where they scored early, they would have won the game easily. I thought Adama Traore played very well.
He did. He was a threat.
On the Arsene Wenger birthday thing, I love this quote from him. I found this quote on his birthday. I think it's from The Guardian originally, but it says, "If God exists and one day I go up there and he will ask, 'Do you want to come in? What have you done in your life?' And the only answer I will have is, 'I try to win football games.' And he will say, 'Is that all you have done?' And the only answer I will have is, 'It's not as easy as it looks.'"
Love it. giving advice to God.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, God says, "What have you done?" Finished fourth.
Yeah. They came second last year.
I know, but it's funny.
Are they worried
if they
keep having 75% possession and not winning?
Yeah, to be fair, though, I don't think he'll look back over his life exactly and go, "Yeah, we finished fourth loads."
Yeah.
Before that, we won the league. I don't really think about that.
Yeah. I won the double once.
If you're going to go up to the pearly gates, you don't want to be too
humble. Yeah, you've got to pitch that very well.
Yeah, exactly. So start off with the fourth and then maybe move on.
Adama
Traore played very well.
He did, he could be a weapon for Borough. I liked what Aitor Karanka said before the match, because before the match Middlesbrough sat in 17th position and he was asked, what do you think of the season, how do you think it will pan out, those kind of questions, and he said, "If in May we finish 17th I will be really, really pleased." I love that.
It was an interesting game to observe, because the attacking players just weren't quite on their game. All of Arsenal's best performances were defensive. Koscielny was fantastic. Mustafi looks very, very assured. He likes to bring the ball out as well. I like that. He looks like the defender we've needed for quite a long time. And Elneny's passing is fantastic. But again, it's just the players further forward. Sanchez worked really hard, but it just didn't quite come off for him. And it's frustrating.
Might I just say, Jim, is that what they do at the Emirates? You observe a game?
Yeah. Not like the bloody riff-raff in the away end. Just shouting and making all that noise. It's uncouth.
And they call half-time the interval.
Yeah. Oh, chance to get a chock ice.
Yeah.
there was another draw in the Premier League. Hey, there's a link for you, ladies and gentlemen. Manchester City 1, Southampton 1. I said this.
Yeah, you did. You mentioned
I fancied Southampton to maybe get something out of this game.
Well, this is reminding me of another point I wanted to make. Sometimes I think of them in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Not very often. But Man City are very soft-centred. They look poor at the back and defending very poorly. Every single one of those teams I mentioned earlier that are separated by one point at the top, Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, Spurs, they've all got quite an obvious weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Man City, as I just said, appear to be soft-centred.
Liverpool at the back.
Liverpool definitely at the back. Arsenal have tendencies to dominate games and not win.
Cutting edge.
Chelsea, I don't think Conte knows necessarily what his best team is just yet. Mm-hmm. And Spurs lack a bit of a cutting edge as well. Because if you look at Spurs, of course, they're undefeated. They've only conceded four goals.
Yeah.
But they've drawn two games in a row now. And West Brom and Bournemouth, you think if you had a real cutting edge about you and a real serious sort of intention of setting your stall out early, they'd have won both those games.
It is worth noting that they're missing Harry Kane and Dembele as well, though.
True. But all teams go through periods where they miss players, you know.
But if you look at quite a well-balanced side like Southampton, are you saying it's their year, Luke?
No.
All right?
No. No credit for the Saints.
I think someone's going to win the Premier League? No, I don't.
Oh, bye.
Although Karanka thinks they're going to. Karanka's saying that 17th thing earlier because he heard Ranieri say it last season and they won the league.
Yeah, that's right.
If I say that, it might work.
40 points. Yeah. 40 points. Yeah. That's what we're after. I tell you what. Go on, Jim, sorry. I was going to say, it appears that City have sort of lost their energy a little bit, haven't they? They've kind of lost that kind of swarm that they had at the start of the season where they would just press people a lot. And they looked very sort of quite cagey and kind of almost lethargic against Southampton, who obviously played very well.
For the neutral, that's good news.
Yes.
Because it did look like that they were just going to run away with it. And who knows, maybe they will in the end. But actually, the Premier League, again, for the neutral, or for other fans of sides up there like Arsenal and Liverpool, is pretty good reading at the moment, the top of the Premier League. But I think, Luke, you might have something there about Manchester City because teams may well have started to fear them early on. And actually, if the manager, you know, does his tactics, gets it on the ball and goes, right, don't fear this lot. Look, and here are the reasons why. There is the soft core there. We can have a go at them here, blah, 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 blah. Mm. Southampton turn up and think, we can get a point here. Or we can do something. I mean, Charlie Austin had a chance at the end, could have made it 2-1.
Yeah, quite. It comes from reputation. If Guardiola comes into a team as big as Man City with all that money and he's Guardiola, most clubs and players within those clubs are going to think, gee, God, you know what? If we can get anything here, it's a bonus. Mm. But slowly but surely, that's starting to be chipped away.
Yeah.
They've lost games or they've not performed that well in games outside the Premier League. Spurs showed the blueprint of how to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Celtic got at them and thought, Celtic probably thought we've got nothing to lose here.
Yeah.
And they managed to score a hatful against them. Everton got a draw, now Southampton have got a draw. Yeah. Slowly but surely, that Guardiola air of invincibility has been chipped away at. And you wonder if they can get it back. I mean, obviously they can get it back, but you wonder if you ever get that invincibility thing back because they haven't really earned it. And coming up, they've got, of course, they've got the Manchester Derby midweek. And then they go away to West Brom, which is actually not an easy game.
Big tone.
And then they play Barcelona in the Champions League. So it's not getting any easier for them.
So you're saying they've got a soft core and they don't lock it up them?
Well, big tone.
End of Tony Pulis. Yeah. Is there actually on that, is this some validation for the, you know, wet, windy night at Stoke Club?
Wait, is this basically vindicating the centre of the British game? Guardiola, sure you come over here.
It has to be a wet, windy night at West Brom now, though, right?
Well, sure, it's moved on to just as long as it's wet and windy, doesn't really matter where it is, does it, I suppose?
So basically, everybody, the secret to beat Guardiola is to
rain.
Yeah, make sure the weather's going in your favour and just to get up them.
Which in Manchester is not ideal for him, is it? It's raining all the time.
It's very true.
So it's an interesting one, isn't it, with John Stones as well? We know he's got mistakes in him. The shade of blue you're wearing isn't going to change that. And it did look like Guardiola had sort of done a very good job of helping him sort of get over that part of his game. But that, what a ball. What a ball for the Southampton goal. Yeah.
Well, the keeper was a bit slow off his line. I mean, I think the fault has to be at Stones' feet largely, but Stones will be a better player plan under Guardiola. There's no two ways about that. Little mention for Southampton, Nathan Redmond.
Yeah.
Having a good season. Yeah. A lot of vital contributions to matches.
I was talking about last season as maybe getting a potential nod for the England squad, and you all laughed at me, but I think
he's quite a well-experienced under-21 international, isn't he, I think?
Yeah, let him enjoy that. I don't know if he's eligible for the under-21s anymore, but...
But with Stones, by the way, it's just essentially, it's similar to the David Luiz thing. I'm not suggesting he doesn't make mistakes, because obviously he does, but it's... There's a lot of confirmation bias in that.
Yeah,
people already think of him as that type of player. So every time he does it, it gets hugely highlighted. Yeah. Clearly,
Koscielny made a big mistake against Middlesbrough, nearly cost them. You know, but you don't think of Koscielny being an error-prone defender.
Well, I don't know. He's got them in them. He likes a sending off and an own goal here and there.
At the start of his Arsenal career, much more than that.
Not so much now.
That doesn't matter, does it?
I think he's one of the better. I think he's one of the better defenders in the Premier League.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, he was. There were times he actually saved us at the weekend as well. But it's true. Players grow. Well, that's a great example of it, isn't it? Like players do grow out of these things, and then you forget to credit them with that.
It's very true. Let's credit West Ham. They won.
Yeah, they did. Does beating Sunderland count as form? Does that go into the form table? Do they bother?
An injury time winner against Sunderland.
Kept a clean sheet, Jim.
Do you even get the 3 points?
You get 2 points.
You know, like a training game now. When you at university, when like you get a certain grade, depending on how well everyone else did, and they moved the percentages around. So like 70% would be like a 2-1, but actually if everyone did really well, it might be 72%. I think you should do that with Sunderland.
Is that right?
Yeah. Just listen. Everyone's beating Sunderland. The 3 points you get for beating Sunderland clearly aren't as good as the 3 points you would get for beating Man City, for example. So maybe just give people 2.5 points at the moment for beating Sunderland until they sort their act out.
They're like the tutorial on a computer game.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's what they should be called, tutorial this season.
There's obviously a lot of talk about Moyes. Is he going to lose his job? Luke, you enjoyed something that Moyes said in defence of this.
Yeah, he said, basically, David Moyes came out the other, I think it was earlier today, saying sacking me is not going to solve these problems.
It's not for you to say that, is it, David?
Yeah, well, quite. But it's not for him to say it anyway.
Allardyce is circling, isn't he? Let's be honest. Just do it. Just do it, guys.
Imagine being like, I don't know, guilty of like gross misconduct at a job, and then going in, being pulled in front of the HR, and just saying to them, sacking me is not going to solve these problems.
Yeah, no, it's right.
It's not for you to decide.
It's like you've left the toast on for too long.
Yeah.
It's set fire to the building. Look, sacking me is not going to put this out, is it?
Sacking me is not going to rebuild the building, is it?
No.
Sacking me is not going to get us any more points on the board. Well, it might.
Speaking of haplessness, and I realise this might be a bit unfair, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. Guess how long it's been since Jack Rodwell has won a game he started in?
Oh, man, I'm...
Since...
18 months. Are we doing games or time?
Let's go time.
I say 18 months.
I say 9.
3.5 years.
Bloody Benny. Oh,
3.5 years.
Wow. Keep him on the bench.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, winning games of football is essentially what it's all about.
Yeah. Actually, to be fair to him, a lot of that time will have been just not playing at City, won't it? Surely.
Yeah.
But he's a young player.
It's still a damning statistic.
He's a young player. It's not like he's in his late
30s. But it's when he's in the starting 11.
Right. Oh, of course.
So it's not like. I mean, he's
being too fair to the man.
Yeah, clearly. To be fair, okay, I'll row back a little bit. It's actually 3 years, 5 months.
Which is technically not as bad.
I've got a boot in there, haven't I? The last thing he needs right now is people rounding up.
Oh, God.
It's such a shame because you think about him playing for Everton and what a promising young talent he was.
It's the risk you take as a young player if you go to a team where you're not likely to get in the starting lineup. Yeah. Again, do you back yourself to get in that squad or do you urge a bit of caution with yourself?
Well, we've just been talking about John Stones. To give it a bit more context,
Jim, just because I know you're crying out for that, that's actually 32 starts and 1,241 days. Clearly he hasn't been playing like 150 games.
That's crazy.
But I mean, it's still a reasonable amount.
That's got to be such a difficult rut to get yourself out.
And he was a really good midfielder. A lot of potential, yeah.
Big Sam Allardyce, he was seen next to Sir Alex Ferguson, his first public appearance since stepping down as England manager. I like when the people say...
That's what I mean by circling.
It's an appearance in public. When people say it's a public appearance, like he's going, I'm back! Yeah.
Someone's seen you.
Yeah, right.
It's not like he's turned up at the red carpet in the premiere to something going, Sam's back, baby!
Most people make public appearances every day, the British public, the world's public.
If he does get the Sunderland job again, it'll be like him managing England as like this weird fever dream that never actually happened. if a dream sequence in like a soap opera or something.
Oh, yeah, if I was him, I'd deny it.
See, it didn't happen.
What are you talking about?
You've got to look at Sunderland and what he did to keep them up last season and think, you know, if they're going to do it, should they just do it now to give him a bit more time?
I don't know, Jim.
Apparently, you can get him a really good deal on the manager.
I simply don't know.
If you're not going to hire me, I can sort it out probably. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Before we go to our second lad break, a quick word on Hull City. They lost again, but they've come up with a very interesting way of creating a better atmosphere in the stadium because apparently their poor run of form has dampened the mood at the KC Stadium. So they are attempting to use the advertising hoardings to show the crowd lyrics to some of their favourite chants.
I don't agree with it.
It's like an auto-cue for fans.
They've got a terrible defensive record. I was looking into them earlier for something else I was doing. I can see 22 goals in the league already this season.
Do you not think the hoardings with the lyrics will help with that?
I don't think it'll make a
difference.
Maybe
if they put them in front of the goal?
No. Yeah. True. But only at one end. And just hop around.
All right, then. We're going to talk a little bit of Scottish football after this.
So good.
Very good. Very good. So good.
TheFootballRamble.com. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Do not forget the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365 coming out this Friday. Chelsea ensured that we didn't get any money for charity.
Well, Jose Mourinho ensured it.
Yeah, OK. Yeah. That's probably a better way of putting
and
it.
And so did whoever made that pass back to give him the first goal. I can't remember who it was, but... well, we've done that, but now, anyway. we're about to talk about the Scottish League Cup semi-finals, right?
Yeah.
I was utterly baffled to see, and I apologise if I'm still on the uptake here, and we've talked about this in the past, the Scottish League Cup final is on the 27th of November.
Oh, yeah. I was amazed by that.
They're dishing out silverware in November.
Just get it done.
The game is gone.
Get it done.
You can't be dishing out trophies in November.
You've still got to win it.
Yeah, I know, but it's wrong. They should, if they're going to do the whole thing up until the final, I sort of am on board with that. Put the final in May. Give them 6 months off.
No. This is not the Scottish Cup. It's the League Cup.
Yeah, I know it is. But still put a final, wherever it's in February in England, isn't it? Put it in February. That's I'm just about deal with that.
Oh, so what? England are right and Scotland are wrong?
No. Neither are right.
I love it.
Can I just say, the format of this competition is also quite baffling.
We're not playing Scotland anymore. We've done Glasgow.
We might go back there. I've got no beef with Scotland generally. You know that. I love Scotland. I love the crowds we play in front of when we go there.
Are most of your mates Scottish?
Can I please make a point? Can I make a point, Marcus? Yeah, before I tell everyone you're a Rangers fan, can I make a point?
There we go. And I'm a Man United fan as well.
Yes, you are.
People coming up to me.
Oh, Man United top of the running order again.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Coincidence.
Yeah.
No.
Put your tattoos away. can I please just make a point about this League Cup? It starts on the 15th of July with a group stage. Come on. There's not been enough made of this.
That is odd.
Yeah.
It's a revamp.
If you're a team in Europe, you get a bye to the knockout phase, which starts in August. So a bit of a break.
Yeah.
The final is next month.
There we are.
Is nothing sacred? Are we not men?
Yeah, why not start it later? Like, I suppose you risk a bit of a fixture pile-up for a few teams, but that is strange.
Are you saying they should have a referendum when the final should be?
No.
Ooh, sailing very close
and
to
then have another one where they get the result they want.
Oh! says us Ramonas.
Yeah. But anyway, my spiritual home, Aberdeen, they're in the final.
Spiritual home.
Well, my family from Aberdeen.
Your spiritual
some
home
of them
is Aberdeen.
Are.
Does that not say some quite bad things about your spirit?
Your parents are
no
from Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
And some good things.
But
and
maybe.
And some good things. Aberdeen, yes, they're through. They're through to the final. It's a very straightforward win. And they're going to be facing the boys.
Great goal.
They beat, apparently, my beloved Glasgow Rangers. do you know what? It was... They were knocking on the door, and it was nice to see... what was his name?
Musa Dembele?
No, the Rangers keeper who used to play for Blackpool. Glick? No, that's the Polish defender.
Yeah.
Gilks.
Matt Gilks.
He had a great game, actually. And then Musa Dembele absolutely mugged him off with a lovely little flick.
A flicked nutmeg.
Yeah.
It quite late on as well, wasn't
exactly.
The celebration was a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a couple of minutes left.
I love it when you see players just really, really go over the top like that with the celebrations, where they can't help but show how much they care.
But that's
I know it's a big game where this happens a lot. But...
Sure. I think, though, that for someone like Musa Dembele, or a player who is not from Scotland, had no previous experience of Scottish football, to my knowledge, going up there and playing in an Old Firm game. I mean, yeah. It doesn't take
the
much.
Atmosphere must be crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. To get a winner, what a goal as well. And especially Celtic had been knocking on the door for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a better performance from Rangers because they didn't ship five goals. Yeah.
Actually, the way Marcus is being so generous to Celtic as a Rangers fan is something you can learn from with your Southampton bias.
What's all this Rangers fan business?
It's a Jose Mourinho diversionary tactic, Jim. Nothing more. I was going to make a semi-serious point about Moussa Dembélé, saying that when players go up to Scotland,
yes.
It is occasionally, or actually more often than not, sort of references that their career's done now, they're going to go up there. But actually, if you're a young player or a young hungry player, you get a lot of headlines. I mean, we heard a lot about Moussa Dembélé since he's gone there and started scoring goals. Mm-hmm. He'll probably earn at some point a good move back to a decent Premier League club after this, because he was linked with a lot of good teams before he went to Celtic. It's no harm at all for him to be scoring goals against, more often than not, fairly poor opposition, but getting in the headlines, playing these big games against Rangers, playing in the Champions League, you know, that sort of stuff, playing against Man City, quite. So it's been a good move for him so far. It really has.
It has, yeah. But the problem for that move is that if it doesn't go according to plan to get back to, well, not back, to go into the Premier League.
You're talking Championship again, aren't you? Yeah,
he's bossed that league before, playing for a side that wasn't particularly good in Fulham as well.
Yeah,
so,
quite.
No, very interesting. So Celtic against Aberdeen, do you fancy the Dandies for that one?
The Dandy boy. I fancy the Danny Dons, yeah. Fancy running together.
You might be saying, why are the magnificent Gorgie boys not in there? They're saving themselves for the big one in May.
Yeah, they are.
Or whenever it might be.
Yeah.
July.
Marcus hasn't been able to find any sort of angle to get him in the running order. So we're not talking about it.
Not going
to
bother.
So seriously, sometimes it'll be stuff like, oh, they haven't won a game for like 3 weeks, but they've got they've opened a new part of their stand. So get them in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a new hot dog.
Oh, two clean sheets in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, get the Gorgie boys in the running order. Let's go to MLS.
Mm.
Major League Soccer balls. Steven Gerrard posted on Instagram a warm message of thanks to LA Galaxy and the city of Los Angeles, which strongly suggests that his time in MLS has come to an end. Klopp said that Gerrard's always welcome. Not in the midfield,
he said that a while
in a coaching role.
He said that a while ago, didn't he?
Yeah, he has done
that. So do you think he's about to retire then?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm, fair enough.
Look, Steven Gerrard, a year or two ago, was accused of not having the legs to be playing for Liverpool in the Premier League.
I know that. Yeah. You know that. Is he thinking,
maybe I can go back to
Liverpool?
Yeah. He basically said, I'll read exactly what he said. He said, living in Los Angeles and playing for the great Galaxy supporters has been a privilege. You have made this place feel like home to me. This city and this club will always hold a special place in my heart. Thank you. So, and then there's like a million comments saying, come home, Steve. Come home to Liverpool. So I think it probably will be some sort of coaching role, won't it?
Yeah, surely.
Spend some time in the US.
It'd be amazing.
2 weeks in Florida. Just play a coach role.
From a pure ramble point of view, none of them in this room has got any particular affiliation either for or against Liverpool. So from a purely ramble point of view, last game of the season, little slip to gift the Premier League to another team.
No, that's hard.
Could happen.
But if Liverpool are winning the league, if they're in for the league title, does he have five little subs appearances?
Get him in on a short-term loan.
Get him a league title.
Get him a key-owned medal.
What I'm saying is Anfield, last game of the season against Middlesbrough.
Why Middlesbrough?
Because that's what they're playing.
Negredo's not going to score, is he?
Last game of the season.
Oh, I see, sorry.
Yeah, you're all right, you're with me now?
Oh, yeah, I am now. I thought you didn't like looking at the fixture list.
What's this, a midfield injury crisis? and Steven Gerrard is eligible to play?
Yeah.
Oh, and they lose 1-0. Mate, it could happen, that's what I'm saying. But the big news from MLS is, of course, Kai Kamara of the New England Revolution. Do you see this?
No.
Scored a goal, twerked his goal celebration.
Nice.
Got a yellow card.
Wow.
Yeah, got booked for it.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a second yellow.
Twerking all over the place, he was.
He's
got a yellow.
Is there a rule against twerking?
Apparently
I think that's harsh.
It's down to the referee's interpretation of the rule, of the law, I guess.
But what is the law that he's enacted there?
The subsection 4 of the Fouls and Misconduct Law, which talks specifically about twerking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
all I wanted.
You knew that, though. You just wanted to get confirmation, yeah.
What a twerk.
Kai Kamara, formerly of a team in England, no?
Possibly.
I think he played for a team in England, Kai Kamara. I definitely recognise the name.
He presents
name.
Goals on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think that's him.
There was a period when there were lots of Kamaras.
Yeah.
And then it was Traore's, and now it's Dembele's.
Yeah, but it was Kamara, though, wasn't it?
I'm going to look it up right now and find out who he played for.
Well, elsewhere in Major League Soccer, Bradley...
Middlesbrough. Played for Middlesbrough. There you go. 25 games, 4 goals.
Another mention for Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I know. They're getting a lovely old job today. Mm.
Come on, Bradley Wright Phillips time, people.
Yeah, fair enough.
This is great, isn't it?
Scooped another Golden Boot award. His second.
Great. Can wear them now.
How can I have a left one? Can I have a left one this time?
He's good. Maybe you get the whole kit.
Yeah.
A golden socks. Kit. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
So it should be, there should be, golden shirt should be for the player who's run the most kilometres.
Yeah.
Golden shorts should be the player who's made the most tackles.
Yeah, clean shorts.
Golden socks. Oh, I'm struggling now.
Socks should have been running, shouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, socks should have been running.
Socks should be running. Shirt should be assist.
Best player.
Assist. Yeah, best player. Best player. Yeah, best player.
Right.
Golden headband for most headed goals.
Yeah. Mm.
Like that.
All right.
Okay. You've got golden gloves. That's a keeper. Oh, I was going to say least handballs. I've got
any more golden things you want to think about?
A golden, I don't know, fleece for most impact substitute appearances.
Golden fleece. There you're talking, Jason and the Argonauts. Yeah. But the golden bin already exists, doesn't it, in this league? Golden bin for the worst player.
Yeah.
Was it, is that a golden bin?
Why, I think so, why is it golden? That suggests they're good.
I just confused myself by saying that, yeah, but it is golden.
What should it be? Just a bin. Just any bin.
Yeah. The plastic bin or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he scored 24 goals this season, Bradley Wright Phillips.
He was two more than David Villa.
I was about to say he was in a straight shootout with David Villa, wasn't he? Yeah.
There's an amazing stat about this as well, though, isn't it?
May the best man win.
Indeed. But he has.
He has.
But isn't there an amazing thing about this where none of Bradley Wright Phillips' goals were penalties?
That's right.
Wow, okay. Well, the man has got quite some turnaround. He's gone from being not even the best footballer in his family to being the top goal scorer ever there.
Blood relation or not.
Yeah.
I think he's the greatest goal scorer in the history of MLS franchise football.
He's definitely the top scorer in Red Bull's history. Definitely. He beat Juan Pablo Angel's
record. I'm pretty sure it's in the whole of MLS franchise. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I read that.
I will forgive you.
Yeah.
Listen, the ramble taught me one thing. It's this. Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
That's right.
Yeah.
Off to China now. How about this? China have they've appointed Marcello Lippi as manager of the national team. He's back in the international managerial game. It's good to see him back.
He's done. I mean, listen, China. If you want to undermine China and deride it as not being, you know, as being a footballing backwater and all that, that's fine. But Lippi's done a brilliant job in China.
China are serious.
Evergrande, Zhuangzhou. Yeah. He's won three league titles in a row with them. He's won the Asian Champions League 2013.
That
final, by the way, 2013, that was a two-legged affair. No one likes to see a two-legged
final. The old UEFA Cup used to be like that.
And didn't, I'm pretty sure the cup in Serie A in Italy used to be that as well. Mm.
The Scottish League Cup is actually over seven games, three of which are underwater.
Yeah, it would be, yeah. Seriously, a group stage. Yeah, domestic. It's like the old what's it called? The Johnson's Paint all over again.
No, they're just trying to compete with the Champions League.
Yeah, they are, and they are doing. They're doing well. They are doing very well with that.
They're doing magnificently.
But Lippi's a very underrated coach. I mean, no one. If you were talking,
Lippi's an underrated coach.
Let me finish.
Bro, this better be good.
Let me finish.
Have a think.
If you walked along the street and found five football fans and said to them, "Who are the top 10 best coaches working in football today?" None of them would say Lippi
because he's away in China. They've forgotten.
Is that how you rate managers?
One at a time,
these
please.
Imaginary
Jim,
men.
Jim, please go first.
Well, men or women. Ask these imaginary me, ask, people in the street.
Away then, Jim. Ask away.
I think I've made my point already.
What is it again? I want this.
You were interrupting it.
Sorry,
to
yeah.
get me to tell you it. So that's not. I don't think that's the system of how people are rated or not, whether you go up to 10 imaginary strangers and ask them to list 10 managers.
Yeah. But underrated means that he's not fully appreciated. And I don't think he is fully appreciated. Ancelotti's the same.
Oh, no, Ancelotti's. I think Ancelotti's appreciated.
I think you've got to assume some knowledge.
He's manager of Bayern Munich.
You've got to assume some knowledge on the part of the people you're making up to rate people.
Is Sean makes sense. Is Sean Connery underrated, would you say?
No.
Anyway.
I think that... Lippi, you're right, because if you think about some of the other managers he's got the better of in China, like Sven Goran Eriksson, it's no mean feat. Lippi has replaced Wao Hongbo, who, of course...
Well, that had a terrible result. They lost a home to Syria fairly recently.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it? I mean, obviously, they've put a lot of time, effort and money into boosting the league and also boosting the national team, but they've hugely underachieved as a national team for a nation of their size as well, just in general on the world stage. So it'd be interesting to see how China develops as a national team.
Indeed. They only played at one World Cup, 2000.
Yeah, exactly. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, I know football's not been huge there for a long time, but simply for a nation of that size, you would think it would...
And that tradition in sport as well.
Yeah.
Finished third at the Olympics, though. Team GB.
I think the Chinese women got to a World Cup final fairly recently as well, so they are serious about the game.
Yeah.
It'll take a bit of time, of course.
Indeed. While we're in the Far East, although China is at Far East, you're getting on for it, certainly. Mm. Well, let's go to Thailand. Now, obviously, the king of Thailand died recently. Mm. which, let's be clear, the crux of what we're talking about is a man dying. So obviously that's sad and all the rest
and
of it.
And he was the longest serving monarch in the world at the time.
Of course, absolutely yours. excuse me. But this prompted Football League officials out in Thailand to end the season three games early.
Yeah.
Now, again, obviously a man's died, blah, blah, blah. That's very sad. But two clubs were relegated due to this with three matches left and had a chance of staying up. I mean,
was Kevin King a manager one of them? Was Kevin King a manager all of them?
Oh, wow.
Marcus has gone for a while now.
I thought we had a good chance of staying up, but the King died.
I would love it if he pulled through.
Should we see you in a bit, mate?
Oh, dear. You can just imagine the coach, right, we've got three games left, two of them are winnable. Two of them are winnable, right?
What we need.
I better take this call. You what?
It's outrageous.
It is outrageous.
Richard Scudamore's been rumoured to be mulling it over. I love what Marcus has done. I just feel for you, Marcus. He says, in the running order, he's written, laws in Thailand can be very strict when speaking out against anything to do with the royal family.
Yeah.
People are scared.
Apparently, the League Cup will be decided by a lottery.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And you thought Scotland was bad.
And tell you what, if Kevin Keegan was managing one of the teams in a final being decided by a lottery, he would just leave.
Finish third. Yeah. I've lost my ticket. I've lost our ticket, boys.
Sad. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know where to go. Apparently, the clubs lodged an appeal. But after a meeting with all 18 league clubs, 17 agreed to end the season early. I love the fact one. Yeah. I don't care if I get locked up.
That one
we
club,
could have stayed up this season.
That one club had a couple of bags of crockery.
What happened was, Keegan was managing a team that had a good chance of staying up, but we were in the relegation zone. And Kevin agreed to go and meet the Thai king just as a nice as a nice like royal visit, and then accidentally killed him.
Oh dear. Well, there we are. Let's have some highlights for the week quickly.
Okay, what have we got here? Do you want me to fill for a bit more, mate? You're all right now.
Actually, talking of the minute silence stuff, I think Sheffield Wednesday, did they not have a minute silence or 2 minute silence for the King?
No, it's Leicester.
No, I think Sheffield Wednesday did as well.
Leicester wore black armband.
They did, yeah.
Anyway, highlights of the week. First one here is from Chris Williams. Hello to you, Chris. He says, my highlight of the week is a lad from work revealing that his glittering career as a Barrow AFC ball boy was ended during their 2010 FA Trophy semi-final second leg match against Salisbury City. Being the veritable coiled spring he is, when the ball came over to his area, he pounced upon it. Unfortunately, the ball hadn't actually been called out of play by any official, as it was judged to be on the line. After being jeered by both sets of fans, the referee awarded visitors Salisbury a free kick, from which they nearly scored, hitting the crossbar. This prompted a fresh wave of anger from the home fans, and shortly afterwards, two police officers arrived and told him they were escorting from the pitch for his own safety.
Wow.
That's not turned out as he liked, is it?
No, that's stunning.
What else have we got here? Chris Roskowski. Hello to you, Chris. He says, finding out this week that ex-Man City Hall of Famer Gary Cook somehow worked his way into marketing for the UFC. Wow. Although he's subsequently been let go, probably for a woeful jeer.
Yeah, this was Gary Cook who tried to sign Kaká for Manchester City.
Back in the day. Back in the glory years of the Ramble.
Oh, yeah.
It was for a lot of money, wasn't it? And when Milan didn't want to sell him, he said they bottled it.
Yeah, that's right. What else have we got here? Lots of shouts for Alan Pardew at the NFL at Twickenham, describing American football as like a foreign sport.
In his hat.
It wasn't even an NFL hat either.
No, it's like a sort of Fred Yankees Durst-y hat.
It was a Yankees hat.
It was a cap.
Yeah, it was a cap.
All right.
Karen Deep Mayhat. Hello to you, Karen Deep. Ronaldinho now being an ambassador at Barcelona.
It's amazing.
During the recent game against Depor, Barca officials were unsure as to why he didn't show up at the stadium as they expected. Later they found out he went to the beach instead and posted pictures of himself there during the game, not even pretending to give a shit.
It's glorious.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can technically be an ambassador for someone anywhere, can't you?
Well, of course, yeah.
Do you have an ambassador on the beach while the game's going on? Yeah. Well, there
I
you
can,
do.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I'll wear the kit. and we'll finish up by another missive, a long overdue missive from our press room spy.
Oh, right, yes.
Hashtag press room spy on Twitter.
Well, it's been a while.
He overheard this week, apparently, that Clinton Morrison is afraid of lifts and takes the stairs even in huge hotels.
Wow.
Oh, there you go.
That's interesting.
Sort of insight you don't get on other football podcasts.
How about that?
And probably for good reason.
He's never been to the top of the Rockefeller Center in New York.
Quite. There we go.
Which is not really a dig. You've obviously never been to the Rockefeller Center.
You have. What's your highlight of the week, Marcus? Was it going to the Rockefeller Center?
Was it finding
out that the Thai League is, have suspended their football?
I mean, it is now.
Yeah.
But I've thoroughly enjoyed the goal scored by Manuel Locatelli for Milan in the win against Juventus.
It's a great goal.
Peach in off as well.
Yeah.
But one of those moments where Milan, you know, they haven't got the better of Juventus for a while. They're now only a couple of points, I think, or something like that off the top.
Well, that'd be great, wouldn't it? A Milan title surge.
And Galliani at the end of the game was giving it the old
the Tardelli.
You know, he was absolutely loving it. And you thought to yourself, has a star been born there?
Did you see Montella, Vincenzo, obviously the manager of Milan, Montella's face when he couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It was like I watched it thinking, you picked him.
Yeah.
You obviously know he's a good player.
Well, I just told him to run around.
Yeah, he couldn't believe he scored it. And they had Donnarumma in goal as well. He's also a teenager.
Yeah, he made a great save right at the end of the game. He was only about a 17 himself.
And the goal that Locatelli scored was, of course, past Buffon, which obviously makes it even better.
Well, Locatelli afterwards was... I never saw the interview, I just saw the quotes, but I could imagine him saying, oh, I've scored past the best goalkeeper in the world.
Yeah,
you know, he's saying all this, he's absolutely loving it.
Do you think Buffon is the best goalkeeper in the world? Was that for another day?
No. I don't think he is anymore, but he's certainly...
Why did you say that then?
Because that's what Locatelli said.
Ah, oh, that's poor by him. He obviously needs to improve his football knowledge, if not his skills.
He's only 18.
Yeah, true. No way to go.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Do we have the email? I think we do. We have the email from
Scotland.
From Harvey.
From Harvey.
Harvey, the guy from Scotland who came to talk to us after the live show in Glasgow, but was drunk, and so I asked him to email the story in rather than say it to me because I could no understand what he was saying.
Indeed. Jim, do you want to do the honours?
Yeah, I'd love to do the honours. So here we go. So, afternoon ramblers, it's Harvey from the Glasgow show last night, or as Peter claimed, Justin Bieber.
Does he look like Justin Bieber?
I actually said that as well. He did. There was a slight...
Okay, I think I've got no beef with Harvey. He seems like a lovely chap, but I think that's harsh on Bieber.
Oh, dear.
It is harsh on Bieber, isn't it?
Moving on. As arrived, I will give you a rundown of my story from the Old Firm in April. I arrived at Hampden rather worse aware after my friend's 21st the night before, which involved us going to a rave under Kelvin Grove Park in an old subway tunnel. Now, this was the cup semi-final last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Old Firm semi-final. Sense. So at around 10 a.m, someone alerted me that I had better get myself home to get round for the match. After a quick shower and change, I got myself off to Hampden, where I discovered train spotting zone Robert Carlyle. Towards the end of the 90 minutes, I screamed at Lee Wallace, "For fuck's sake, Lee, just get off the ball!" To which Mr. Carlyle replied with, "Instead of getting on his back every 2 minutes, just let him play it from the back!" Which caused the whole section to turn silent until Barry McKay scored the second Rangers goal, where I burst out crying and Mr. Carlyle grabbed the back of my head and whispered, "I know, son, I know."
Wow.
That is amazing.
That's what football do to you.
So, emotional scenes from Begbie.
Yeah.
Massive. That's terrifying, isn't it?
Nice to see.
That's presumably when he left the stadium, he just walked straight out because he was going, anybody else get him?
Shoved a pint glass over his head.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
Nice. Do we want to give out a mug to the highlight of the week this week? We didn't do it last week. Mm. Probably should do it this week. We've got Chris Williams, who is the ball boy man. Chris Ruskowski, who is the Gary Cook message. And Karen Deep Mayhat, who's the Ronaldinho guy.
I think Karen Deep.
Yeah, I think
so. All right, Karen Deep, get in touch at show@thefootballramble.com with your postal address and we will send you out a free Football Ramble mug.
There we are.
What about that, huh?
How's about that? I think our time has come to an end.
And thanks, very special thanks to Press Room Spy, who we can't give a mug because he's anonymous.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, that's right. We're done. Any more for any more?
No, I've got nothing.
Marvellous.
I had nothing at the start, but nothing now.
Yeah. My highlight of the week was obviously seeing Mike Dean.
Yeah, right.
You all assume that, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, the good thing about... I mean, obviously, Mike Dean refereeing Arsenal v Borough this weekend. The good thing for the clubs is they know they're going to get a couple of thousand extra on the attendance because Deeney's refereeing.
The viewing figures need it at the moment
as well.
So it's a shame that one was
more referees like Dean. That's the way I answered the opening question. I talk about Mike at great length in the Football Ramble book, which is out now, by the way.
That's right. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for hearing us chat away once again. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim. Goodbye. And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.